Hey everyone, welcome to the Rheology Podcast. I'm Brandon. Today is part three of the interview with Scott Johnson. In this episode, Scott talks about the third and last stage of the process of discovering the God partnership, the resurrection of a dream. This is when God reveals his plans and purposes and how that affects our lives here on earth. Welcome back. This is part three.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Rheology Podcast. I'm Tyler, this is Scott, and this is Chris. We're all friends here. And this is going to be... Oh, we're not friends?
I mean, it depends, but geez. Go ahead.
Okay. This is going to be the third episode of Scott kind of taking us through his dream sequence, his REM sleep. No, not really.
Nightmare. It could be a nightmare, too.
Yeah, you've detailed, and we've talked about the birth of your first dream, mm-hmm. and then the crucifixion of that dream.
Yeah.
And then this episode, we want to kind of talk about where we're at now and where your dreams are at now.
Okay.
And what that actually means. So the resurrection of, the rebirth and resurrection of this dream.
Yeah.
So where do you think we should start?
I think when I was thinking about our last talk and... because we could probably spend 8 different parts on the death of a dream because there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people who experience loss, and if they go through counseling, Chris, your wife's a counselor. Does she counsel people who go through loss?
She's not a grief counselor.
Not really grief.
But okay. I'm sure there has been people who have experienced loss that she's talked to.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're a grief counselor, and you go to a grief counselor, it's not just a one-time deal. We're going to go and, I feel way better and we're good to go. It's some people go for years.
Yeah.
So I feel like we could really talk about the death of a dream for a long time because it's very real. Mm. It's not just a concept. Oh, this part of my life is over. Okay.
Right.
You don't feel okay. Moving on. You really don't. You feel like this sucks. And, I think we talked last time about the whole, the five steps of grief and stuff. And one of the hardest parts, I believe, really is denial, because especially for Christians in this process, right? Because it's one thing that I think people say to me a lot is the phrase, God's got you.
Yes.
God's got you.
Yeah,
hey, Scott, don't worry about it. God's got you. Well, I am worried about it. And the thing is how does he got me? In what way does he got me? He allowed his own son to be crucified, for crying out loud. Did he got him?
Yeah.
So, okay. And I think... if you do work in that mindset of God's got me. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have you. He does. But if that can really easily kind of go into the world of denial of okay, this is dead, but God's got me. Something's coming soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is putting a time frame on God, on how God works and what he does. That's super dangerous in my opinion. Because then you're setting yourself up for major disappointment over and over and over. I wrote down a couple of things because I just wanted to, share a couple of things that how I feel when, and this is going to lead into the resurrection of a dream, but and I would say this too, if there's anybody, I'm not a grief counselor by any stretch of the imagination, but I have experienced long suffering and I have experienced the death of my dream, didn't happen. It wasn't a quick death. Mm-hmm. It's like my dream had cancer and fought for years and years and years. And it's just, just here recently, it finally died. And, so I don't want to, say, that I'm a grief counselor by any stretch, but I'm not qualified to do that, but I am qualified to listen to anybody who is going through this kind of stuff as well. Because there's a lot of things I've learned, obviously, and I'm still learning. And there's a lot of things that I've learned and that I've wrestled with, because I'm like, okay, I'm fine. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. And then next week you're like, no, I'm not fine. This is a horrible reality. This can't be my reality. And then the very next week you're like, okay, I'm fine. And then next week you're not. It's just, man, it's a cycle that can like really drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. So I am not an expert in grief counseling, but I can be someone who can. So I guess that to say, like, anybody's listening to this, we'd love to talk with you and help you if you're doing that. But this is kind of like for me, and I'm just going to guess. I don't know. I'm going to guess this is like for everybody. So this is what I call like the trickle down problem. Okay. And the trickle down problem works like this. So there's an issue. Something happens, right? Something happens that doesn't go right. Right. Or it's like, it doesn't meet your expectation. Let's say like, we're going to use Chris. We like to use Chris in hypotheticals. Chris tries to start a chicken business and it fails.
Again.
Actually, what was the business that you tried?
Fried rice.
That's a good idea. Fried rice.
The business I tried, theoretically.
In your mind. It sounds great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind for you to actually do it. But let's say you try to start this fried rice business and it fails. It utterly fails. And so like you have, and you're a Christian and you feel like God has been in on this whole time and people have fed into your life.
Yeah. God told him to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People have fed into your life. This sounds like a God thing. Mm-hmm. We love this. Mm-hmm. God's got you. Mm-hmm. God's going to do this. God.
Opening doors.
Yep. Opening doors for you to go through. So that was the dream, right? And then something goes wrong. You lose the business. And now, all of a sudden, from that sparks this little piece of doubt. Now you've got some doubt, right? And that little bit of doubt starts to like grow, because in your mind you're like, "Well, does God got me?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Was this a God thing? Was God leading me to this whole time?" And all of a sudden, and then from there, from that doubt, it builds into fear.
Yes.
Maybe God doesn't have me.
Yes.
Maybe God doesn't care about me. Maybe God is doing this to me. Mm-hmm. And then from the fear, that goes into discouragement. And the discouragement really is about like feeling like you're lost and you don't really have, there's no way out of this. And then that leads to despair, where you are absolutely sure there's no way out of this and you don't know what to do. And then if you're not careful, that can lead to loss. And what I talked to you guys about last time was like, you know, that God and I almost divorced.
Right.
Like that was where I was. I was like inches away from loss because I went through that little trickle down deal where things didn't go right. And that's not the first time things didn't go right. It was one of many moments that things didn't quite go right or as planned or what I'd hoped for. And to me, that process right there happens to every human being on the planet. For long sufferers, though, I feel like it happens multiple times. And that's where, like, because not everybody, like Chris may be like, in this little scenario, he may lose the business and go like, well, you know, God does got me. I've got something else in mind. And he may get another job. And that job's cool. And he's like, see, you know. God did get me. And, you know, from the bad, God produced the good. And that happens. And that does happen. But I think in like long suffering, you know, it doesn't go that smooth.
Well, it's probably because a lot of times if I'm losing the restaurant, right, it's like, it's doing pretty well. You start hitting all these rocky obstacles, right? And then it's like, oh my gosh, maybe we're gonna fail. Oh no, God's got me.
Right.
But then it's this like constant like loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, maybe I can't even trust myself and trust God.
Yeah.
Especially if you attach it to God.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, are all my thoughts, because he said it's less, then it turns into, what if God isn't with me, and what if God's against me? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's even a different side of that. So mm-hmm. I think
big time.
I think what they're describing, there can be this long road of loss.
Yeah.
Over a long period of time.
Over and over.
Yeah. And especially, it can be especially one good dream that you're like, this has to be it, right? Yeah. This has to be it.
I'll resurrect my own dream over and over and over. And so for in this process of the birth of a dream, death of a dream, and then actual resurrection of a dream. The death has to become real. And that's the hard part.
Mm.
That's the real hard part to swallow. Because, so there's a book that, so we've talked about my friend, Aaron Bannister, Dr. Aaron Bannister. He told me about this book. It's from a guy named Richard Rohr. I don't know if we've talked about Richard before. He's got a book.
Dickie Rohr.
He's got a book about.
Okay, Chris.
He's got a book called Falling Upward. Okay, and I've just been reading a little bit of it, but I wanted to, there's some really cool things. The whole book is about this.
Okay.
Is about, you know, falling upward. Is the only way to go up is to go down first.
Okay.
There's way more to it than just
sure. yeah.
Or that would just be a small quote on his social media account, mm-hmm. not a book. But he says this, first of all, he says this, which I think of you guys all the time when I read this, I thought of you guys immediately. And every time I reread it, I'm like, sounds so much about like what your students think. But he says that we grow spiritually much more by doing it wrong than by doing it right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is a oxymoron of what we Westerners think in religion. He also says this, and this is just the psychology of it. The human ego prefers anything, just about anything, to falling or changing or dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ego is that part of us that loves the status quo, even when it's not working. It attaches to the past and present, and it fears the future.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's kind of like the way that we set things up in the 21st century American Christianity lifestyle, is that idea of like, you know, I'm going to go, I've become a Christian. I love God, and I'm gonna go do something for Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this career. Hey, God, I'm doing this for You, and that's it. That's it. That's the status quo. Everything's cool. Yeah.
Look, that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's the way it's supposed to be, and you know, whatever. And then when that goes wrong, that's when it's a crisis kind of situation, and. So for me, I look at like this whole idea of really the negative connotation that we put on failing, falling, changing, or dying. It's all negative. Most of it is. Some people love change, but most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people hate change and fear change. Most people hate to fall or fail. Matter of fact, Christianity kind of teaches us that we can't fail or fall. That we shouldn't. If you do, then you're not really a Christian. If you fail or fall.
I see.
When you say Christianity.
Yeah. I air quote that big time. Heavily air quoted. You know, as I'm reading in this book, and what I already know is that in real Christianity, in the real words of Jesus, that's really where all this is heading,
mm-hmm.
is death.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I wanted to, for me, in approaching like the resurrection of the dream, I can't emphasize enough that the resurrection of the dream will not happen until the old dream is completely dead.
Yes.
And
it has to.
You have to like get your hands off of it, quit trying to resuscitate it. And honestly, what really happens here is Richard's saying ego, you know, it's that part of us that is controlling our lives that has to die.
Yeah.
And that's like incredibly good, difficult.
Hmm.
and the whole dying to self mentality in Christianity, if we really kind of pick that apart, it's very personal because
it's us.
Because it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. And I know myself better than anybody does. And all the things that I'm about, all of that has to die. Every bit of it. Even my love for God has to kind of die. And I mean die, I mean it has to, like, you know, I have to take the keys and give them to somebody else. Mm-hmm. The control of all that has to be laid somewhere else. And that's incredibly difficult. To truly do that.
Yeah. That sounds like deconstruction.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a moment where you know, the funny thing is like, though there are, I think we've talked about like Alcoholics Anonymous before, like their serenity prayers is all focused on that exact same thing. Is all basically saying I really don't have control to change really anything. I have control over how I react to change,
right.
But I don't really have control over change. Mm-hmm. And so, but again, that's just for the alcoholics, right? That's not for me.
Right.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. They got a problem. Yep. They need to figure it out. The reality is that we all facing this problem in Christianity. And what Jesus is asking us to do is the serenity prayer. Have taken the keys out of the ignition and handing them over.
Yeah, it's got me thinking that, like, the majority of my life, or at least in the past 10 years or so, I had to do that same thing. I have to give the keys over to God. And the keys were like who I thought God was.
Yeah.
Might not actually be true. And I've got to let go of that, even though my version of God and my theology and the way I was a Christian. That was very safe for me. It was predictable. I could exist in that and like be totally fine. But there was this thing in the back of my head that was telling me this is not it.
Right.
But you've got to do the hardest part of that is letting go.
Yes.
And seeing what actually happens.
Yep.
So yeah, like you're saying, everybody has this opportunity to give up control and have their dreams die to an extent. Yeah.
We have a couple of like Christian illustrations that we have in our head and we use them over and over and over. And it's like the trust fall. You guys ever done the trust fall?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes.
So like the trust fall is like one of those. Right. Yeah. Where you get up on a, like an elevated thing and you gotta fall backwards into your friend's hands and you gotta trust them and they're gonna catch you. That's okay. That's one. Another analogy or illustration is in the Indiana Jones and Last Crusade, where Indiana Jones has to go through the last things to get the Holy Grail, and one of them is the leap of faith from the lion's mouth.
Yeah.
Right, and he's like, so he just puts his foot out and goes, and he drops, and all those things are good analogies. But they tend to be used for like one-off scenarios, right? For situations, not life, just situations. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, that's why we have God's got you, because something bad happened. God's got you.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll just trust him, he's got you. And the reality is like this relationship we have with Jesus is not really based on situational crises. It's not all on like, remember when something happens, you can rub that lamp and I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's way broader than that.
Yeah.
And to the point, so that's why this process really kills all of that. It kills exactly what you said. It kills what you thought God was. And that's hard. that's hard because it's like, I thought God loved me. And it's like, well, he does love you, but not the kind of love that you may have thought he loved
Correct.
You.
Correct.
You know, there's a deeper love.
Yeah.
And I thought God got me. I thought he had me. I thought he was going to take care of me. Yeah. I thought God's going to provide for me.
Yeah.
Sure. It's just, there's a deeper meaning to all that. And that's what God's really kind of going for is that. And so, like, when I think of, so I wrote this kind of stuff down. This whole process is leading somewhere. And what it's leading, what the goal is, I think we talked about this one time, maybe it was the last time, but like if you go to like the into the military, Chris goes into the military. Yes, he's like, I want to go into the Marine Corps.
So,
That's what I wanted to do.
Fried rice restaurant.
Yeah. Fried rice didn't work.
I almost went to the Coast Guard.
It's true.
Coast Guard. They're going to go into the Coast Guard, even though, well, I guess Coast Guard has a boot camp. They have a boot camp, right?
Who knows? Who knows what the Coast Guard actually does? That's not why I want to go to the Coast Guard.
Let's say Marine Corps. Sure. He's going to go into the Marine Corps, and he's like, cool, I'm all about it. And he goes to a recruiter, and recruiter pumps him up. Yeah, man, you're going to be a grunt. And you're first in and first out. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He gets all gung-ho, and he's like, dude, this is, I'm going to do this. And then he goes to boot camp.
Hmm.
And all of what he had in mind is over.
Right.
Hmm.
And the goal of boot camp is to turn you into somebody different. And in order to do that, we have to break you down at your core to make you into the type of person that the Marine Corps is looking for. And not everybody makes it. And so they're also whittling people away who are not really ready or they don't have the mindset. So they're looking for a right type of person, and boot camp will get you there. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like boot camp, I think of it that way. There is a goal, and the goal is in this boot camp type of process, the birth of a dream, the death of a dream, resurrection of a dream. The goal is to give you ears that hear and eyes that see. That's the goal.
Hmm.
That's the goal. And you may be like watching this or listening to this and go, that sounds familiar. It should, because it's all over the Bible. And I mean the whole Bible. So this is Proverbs 20, verses 12 through 13. This is the New Living Translation. It says this: eyes to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. If you love sleep, you'll end up in poverty. Keep your eyes open, and there'll be plenty to eat.
Interesting. Okay.
This concept is going to be like shared over and over and over by like mainly the prophets. So like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah 6, Jeremiah 5, Ezekiel 12, you're going to see that same thing over and over and over and over and over. Matter of fact, Isaiah 6 is quoted by several people. Jesus quotes Isaiah 6.
Okay.
Paul quotes Isaiah 6 in both Acts. He's recorded to quoting it. And then he also quotes it in one of his letters. Anyway, so this is what Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 says. It says, go and tell these people, this is God saying this to Isaiah. So Isaiah, you know, has been caught up, you know, basically the Lord calls Isaiah just like he calls everybody, right? And the common reply when God calls somebody in the Old Testament is what?
No. Or yes.
No. What is
I
it?
I got it wrong.
Here I am.
Here I am. Okay. Here am I. Okay.
Here am I. Here am I.
I guess I'm not here.
Here I am.
Yeah, clearly someone's never got the calling from God.
Tene is the Hebrew. Tene, here am I. I'm here. Here I am. You have my attention.
Okay.
You have my attention. And so God says this to Isaiah. Isaiah says, you've got my attention. And this is exactly what God says right after that. He says, go and tell these people. You hear, but you don't understand. You look and look, but you don't see. Hmm. Make the hearts of these people hard. May their ears hear little and their eyes see little. Or they will see with their eyes and hear with the ears and understand with their hearts and turn again and be healed. Jesus uses this. Paul uses this. Now you start to understand, like, Jesus is kind of like a prophet himself. That's why he is kind of like a prophet. Right. He's fulfilling prophecy in the same time. That's why Jesus says so many different times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He has eyes to see, let him see. And it's kind of like an old Hebrew philosophy of like being able to really truly understand what's going on here.
So when like people heard Jesus say that, were they offended?
No. Well, yeah, sure. So some of them are. Like,
they probably think they're doing the right hearing. But Jesus is like, you're...
No, you think you hear, not at all.
Well, it would depend on who's doing the hearing. At that point, if it's a Pharisee, they're like going, how dare you act like a prophet?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
If it was anybody else, it'd be like, oh my word, we've got a prophet here. So
I see.
It would be like, wow, this dude has got authority, or the people who definitely don't have their eyes open, which would have been who Jesus probably would have been talking to
mm-hmm.
the majority of the time about right. having their eyes closed right. and their ears closed okay. would be the guys that should know better.
Okay.
But it's just, so this whole process is for us to have eyes that truly see and that really see what's going on here and ears that really can comprehend what's going on. And when I say what's going on, I mean what God is doing in this earth and why even use Jesus? Yeah. What's the point? And we've said it before that like we tend to think that it's Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He sacrificed his life so that he would save me and you mm-hmm, from hell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus did come to save, but not really necessarily in those terms. It's really more about saving, as we've said, the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so for just to like understand the birth of a dream so that we're not like mistaken that like, you know, I had a dream, a birth of a dream. It was to do this. That failed. God's got me. And he gave me a new dream, a new career, a new life. I'm not saying he can't do those right. things. He absolutely can. But that's not what we're talking mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about like, you know, I had a marriage. This happens all the time. I had a marriage. We were doing so great. My wife left me. My husband left me. Everything went wrong. And now, you know, the birth of a dream is God gave me a new marriage. Mm-hmm. No, that was really more along the lines of, you know, the effect of the mm-hmm. birth of the dream. Right. The birth of the dream allowed for that to happen down mm-hmm. the road. But it's not the actual birth of the dream. So the birth of the dream is really the idea that that's why like we're so into like ecclesia, because it's everything. Mm-hmm. It is everything. And we know that ecclesia is this intimate relationship that God's trying to get back to with us. He's not looking for, you know, a relationship that is, you know, just a good buddy. You know, he's not really kind of looking for, you know, that kind of, you know, acquaintance type of relationship. He's looking for intimacy. Mm-hmm. So the only way to gain intimacy is to go deeper. And we've said before, mm-hmm. you know, it's like our marriages and stuff like that. You know, our marriages are not going to be a very rich marriage. Marriages they're not intended to be acquaintances. You know, that type of relationship. They're supposed to be, they're meant to be intimate relationships.
Partners,
true partnership. And the only way that that happens is if you're willing to go through the good and the bad together. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have the vows the way we have them. All that stuff starts to make sense. And that's exactly what God's looking for here is an intimate relationship, a partnership, the ecclesia. What he's trying to get to at the end of all this is what we have called faith, but what really is the idea of like true knowing through and through.
Mm, okay.
Through and through. Because we've said this too before, like Tyler can get a phone call about something, and it's maybe you guys owe taxes or something like that. Yeah. And you know immediately what your wife's going to feel.
100%.
You know,
100%,
because you don't know because she wrote it down and said, hey, in case this ever comes up, look at this. This yeah. is how I'm going to respond. Yes. No,
you've got lived a little life. Notebook in my back pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
If how this to happens, respond to this yeah, scenario. Yeah, yeah.
If this happens, go to page 4.
I should probably have that actually.
That might not, you know, hurt. But the reality is like, that's not the goal.
Yeah.
The goal is for you to know each other intimately. And that's what we have called faith. Unfortunately, just saying the word faith doesn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah.
But when we say knowing, that it makes you go, okay,
yeah.
okay. And the problem is like knowing on a much, much deeper level and not just God's got you, because that's just a statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blank statement for any crisis situation. And the reality is it's because someone actually told me that. About 2 weeks ago, they said, well, you know, God's got you. And I said, does he?
You said that to him?
Uh-huh. That's great. And he's like, well, sure. I said, okay, I agree with you. He does. But, you know, there's many faces to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's many faces to that. I mean, God may got me, and his version of got me is to like work four jobs the rest of my life. Lots of people do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may have to go and, you know, struggle the rest of my life. Paul did. Most of these dudes did in the New Testament. They struggled. Yep. They struggled. They faced death and persecution, and they were scared.
Yeah, because when people say just have faith, it's really having faith that God is going to do what you want God to do. Like, and have this like perfect scenario.
Yes.
And this easy life and everything's comfortable.
Well, even think of the way you just used that. Have faith. It sounds more along the lines of just like keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, and it's up to me.
It's also have faith in not looking at your current scenario, but look in the future for good. Because I think a lot of the God's got you is like, I don't know how to empathize with you in the moment.
Right.
But what I can offer you is it'll probably work out for a good reason. Right? So we'll just wait for the good reason to manifest itself and then look at that.
Yes.
Right. What it's doing is actually removing you and that person from like, but I just told you what's happening.
Yeah.
And like, it becomes this fake thing.
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, because the whole thing has got you is it'll eventually like work out.
It'll eventually work out.
But like, that's not how I feel.
No.
And that's also not true.
Right.
So like, that's not a good thing to say.
It is not a good thing to say.
I mean, I understand because people don't know how to say, right? Like, no one knows how to comfort deep
unless
deep
you
loss
do know.
Or grief. Right.
Unless you have been through it,
like,
then you know.
That sucks. I hate that.
Right.
I understand. Like, man, I've been through that as well.
Yep.
And I hate when people say, God got you.
Yeah.
That is usually the response of people who have been through long grief.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I've told you guys, well, we mentioned my friend Matt McGee, and I told you guys before, and I think I said this in the last episode, but when I got let go from Kinetic and I told him, his response was, congratulations.
Mm. Oh, wow.
His response wasn't, God's got you.
Mm-hmm.
His response was, congratulations, because he knew that in order for me to really move forward, that I needed to really, you know, have faith and have faith in like knowing you need to get to know God. Not you need to hope and keep your fingers crossed that this eventually will work out. Don't worry. You know, that's how God works. You rub the lamp and hang on. It may take a year, but he's got you. And that's not even the point. The point isn't like God's going to catch you when you fall. The point is you will fall. What are you going to learn in when you fall? And so,
but that's all. The point isn't also to learn something. The point, right? The point is like you will fall.
You will fall.
What is the relationship? Like,
I would say instead of like you will learn something, you need to learn someone.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what
yes,
you need
yes,
to learn.
That's right.
You need to learn someone.
It's not
that's
like this,
the knowing.
It's not this Job situation where like, oh, there was this God had this point he was trying to make all along that he may or may not share with you, like Job, right? I think life just happens. God doesn't promise all these, like, we're not Jonahs, we're not Noahs,
right?
We're not like these people, unless God has spoken to you specifically about going through these things, like life just happens.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of God. And I think that's part of your boot camp analogy. I think it's less about God's going to try to break you, but it's more of the way that God works versus the way you think God works feels like a breaking moment, because you're so like, I want, like, you, something has to break in order for you to surrender to the way that God
works. Right.
It's a lot. This is,
it's a paradigm shift. It has to be a paradigm shift from like me focusing on my life, my whole life.
Yeah.
Cause it is my life.
Yeah.
To focusing it on being God's life.
Yes. Yes. With me.
With me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm still part of it, but it's not. And that's an incredibly difficult, as you said, it's a difficult process. But I, for me to stretch that, the idea is not centered around, you know, well, I have this dream and I hope that God will resurrect this dream or something like it in the end, because that's not really what this process is about. This process is about me learning who God is in a deeper way so that we can have intimacy and I can truly be a part of the ecclesia, a true partner here, a dance partner, and not just, you know, a guy that's taken a piece of this Jesus thing and I'll just apply it to my life. I wear it like a badge of honor or whatever. And hey, look, I'm a, because God already had that, you know, for thousands of years. That's not what this is about. I mean, I think for me is, you know, it can be real tricky. And this is something I'm just going to be real here because I'm still learning this. Mm-hmm. It can be very, very tricky to think, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it, God. We can move on now. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I've learned my lesson.
I think that's a real smoke and mirror kind of a deal. Because again, I still feel like it's like centered on me.
Yeah.
And I'm still, it almost feels like, okay, God, I'm ready, you know, to go and do this. Mm-hmm. And that's not the point.
Because that quickly could become the point. Okay. The point is then, what is my dream then, God? What is, now that I'm right with your relationship with you, what is the dream you're going to give me now? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's,
and that was, yeah, the whole like gumball you're trying to get from God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're looking for, you're putting a penny in and you're turning it and you're getting what you think you should be getting.
Right.
And that's not really what this is about. It's about an intimate relationship.
There's someone.
And whatever results from that, Mm-hmm. And that's the eyes to ear and the eyes to see and ears to hear piece of it, is being able to actually have that added to my life, you know, so that I can really truly start to get the bigger picture. Yeah. And not that I don't think we'll ever get the full bigger picture, because we are frail and we are, you know, I can't sit here and tell you that I've got it all figured out and I'm ready for what's going to come next week. No, I'm still pretty frail.
Yeah. Still scared.
Yeah. I'm still scared. Yeah. I mean, I still have doubt that comes in. God, geez, every week. Sometimes that doubt doesn't go anywhere. Sometimes the doubt does go into fear. And sometimes that fear does breed into discouragement and despair. And I mean, just, you know, I was kind of telling you guys about my week, and my weekend was filled with this kind of stuff again. And I feel so embarrassed because I'm like, I should be beyond this. Yeah. I should be further down the road. And that's just, again, that's a part of the ego thing that Richard Rohr is talking about. Is like, I'm clinging to the present and the past, and I'm scared of the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all about, we've talked about it several times, the three of us, about the whole idea of Jesus, you know, this concept of abiding. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the result of this whole process, about truly abiding every day, daily abiding with God through the good, through the bad, and not trying to come up with a plan and supersede what you're trying to do and what he's trying to do. Not trying to switch places, you know, not trying to go, cool, God, I got it from here. I'll get back in the driver's seat, which, man, is a super temptation to do every day. You know, you guys have met Darren, and we've talked to Darren. I talked about this for years, is like, this is Christianity. This is what it looks like. It is messy. It's full of falling and failing and change. And, you know, I saw something on, one of the social things. It was either TikTok or Instagram, and someone had shared this, like, you know, the one word that's repeated 365 times throughout the Bible. One phrase. Any ideas what this one phrase would be?
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
How many times?
365.
Oh. Every day.
One for every day of the year.
No doubt. Yeah. Do not be afraid. And it's not because that Christians can't be afraid, or that you're not supposed to be afraid. It's just that when fear does come, because it does, and it will regularly. You can set your watch to it. Just remember this relationship. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is what this process is about.
Yeah.
It's about being able to truly walk with God on a daily basis through all the good and the bad, and not trying to go out and manipulate God, mm-hmm. are not trying to go and fix, because that's really the boot camp is that mm-hmm. you went into boot camp controlling your life, trying to fix everything and trying to navigate everything. And if your career went wrong, well, guess what? You just go get a new career. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that some of those pieces don't still come into play after boot camp, but the mentality that this is my life, I'll take it and I'll do it. And God, I'll do it for you. In the boot camp process of this goes from that to, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I no mm-hmm. longer live. Now Christ lives in me. And that's really what Jesus is getting at. Paul knew it. Most of these guys all knew it. Not literal death. He's, you know, not literally dying, but being able to just completely surrender mm-hmm. and allow, you know, God to be what God yeah. wants to be, and to be able to like have that marriage, that ecclesia partnership, and for it to grow through ups and downs and become more and more intimate in the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the whole Rheology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Rheology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, rheologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram @rheology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.